I find that I'm
Well, hello everyone. As I promised yesterday, today I'm going to be talking about stepping stone theory and why the notion that Farage is a stepping stone to fascism is just hyperbolic nonsense from the left and stupid wishful thinking from those further to Farage's right who think they can use reform as their own vehicle. Nothing is further from the truth. Farage and reform will only ever be a vehicle for a number of things. Nigel Farage's career, the interests of Israel, and the protection of the British system, such as it is. At most, it will shift it from being globalist-aligned to Zionist-aligned, right, in the overall scheme of things. But as I talked about yesterday, if you think you're going to get anything from that deal, just like the kids in Willy Wonka, you get nothing. Good day, sir. You lose because that is the system that we have. You're never going to get anything from any of these governments. Anyway, before I get going, and this video is going to talk about the rise of Hitler in Nazi Germany and the conditions that brought about the Nazi Party ruling and the Third Reich, and how this, anything like this, is not going to happen in the UK. Before I do so, pick up a course at the academic agency. I have a sale going on, my autumn sale, my fall sale, if you're American. Promo code Shredder. Pick it up now. Trivia, many other great courses. Watch this ad, and when I come back, I'm going to go into all the ways in which the rise of Farage is nothing like the rise of Hitler.
It's promo code Shredder. World-class education denied to you by school, denied to you by woke university. Well, no more. Pick up your course today. 25% off all courses with promo code Shredder. That's Shredder. Buy it now.
All right, so you see this idea, you see it on the left, you see it on the right, that Farage is an enabler for something like the rise of the far right or the rise of fascism in this country. And when you start looking at it, the closest analogy, right, is to Adolf Hitler, because, of course, Adolf Hitler was installed as the Chancellor by President Hindenburg through an emergency decree in 1933, and they were a rising electoral force in the Weimar Republic. Why is this historical precedent of the Nazis using certain nationalist parties, like, for example, the DNVP, which I'll talk about in a second, why is Reform UK not a kind of historical parallel with something like the DNVP, or why is Farage not a figure like, for example, Alfred Hugenberg, who was a media mogul who basically, you could say, helped facilitate the rise of Hitler in Germany? Well, I'm going to get to it all. So point one, and I've got some notes here which I'm going to have to refer to. Okay, so number one is what I'm generally going to call institutional resilience in the UK, that is, the institutions of Parliament, the institutions of Britain, the safeguards that are built in, versus the fragility of the Weimar system, which was an untested system with very few safeguards, so it could be gained within an inch of his life. Almost all systems in the West since 1945 are basically designed with this historical precedent to prevent the rise of Hitler ever happening again. Never again. Remember? That was the whole mantra after World War II. So all our systems are designed to be hyper-vigilant against anything like this happening ever again. Okay? So the first thing is that the British system has got safeguards against this. Weimar's had a weak constitution. There were things that allowed Hindenburg to appoint Hitler. the emergency decree, Schmittian exception, as I talked about, the parliamentary system, the first-past-the-post system, basically select out any extreme, quote-unquote, extremist element won't be allowed in. Okay, and remember, in the context of Britain now, Reform UK wouldn't even let Lotus Eaters hosts into the party. They kicked them out of the party, called them extreme and all the rest of it. They're not even that, you know, and they're quite far away from, you know, an equivalent of a Nazi today, right? They're nowhere near being Nazis, the Lotus Eaters, okay? And yet they were considered inappropriate to be in Reform. Okay, so there's a safeguard in there which didn't allow it to happen. And then even beyond the internal safeguards of the party and of the parliamentary system, there is a robust security state which is going to kick into action to stop anything like this happening. And it's hyper-vigilant to the point of being paranoid, to be the point of being absolutely paranoid for anything like this scenario happening, okay? So that's one first point. Second point is, obviously the rise of Hitler in Germany was facilitated by great economic instability. And I've made videos recently, the UK economy is not in a great state, but it's quite far away from Weimar conditions during the Great Depression. You know, 6 million people, unemployed, hyperinflation. You know, these were radicalizing conditions, and let's not forget they had the humiliation of the World War I defeat, which was a huge part in the rise of the Nazis. All of the Nazis were former World War I vets who were very bitter about what happened to their country and the manner in which they lost that war. Okay, none of these conditions pertain in the UK, and as bad as the British economy is, it's a world away from being Weimar, right? It's a world away from people, you know, having to buy bread with wheelbarrows full of cash and things like this, okay? You know, cost of living, quality of living, etc. Nowhere near as bad as that. And I've talked about this when I've talked about the prospect of civil war as well. You know, the bread and circuses index in the UK, even in the poor economy of right now, is still miles above what it would have been, even adjusting for relativity, right? The relative differences and so on. Even adjusting for all that, it's still nowhere near what was happening in Weimar. Okay, so you know, it's still not going to collapse anytime soon. We're nowhere near. You know, all the rhetoric is heightened, but the actual reality is nowhere near anything like that. Okay, so Farage, obviously there is frustration. And like I talked about yesterday, Farage saps all that energy up. Any potential quote-unquote fascists, right? Rather than like becoming, you know, Nazis, instead they get absorbed into getting behind Farage, right? So that doesn't happen in the same way. Plus, conditions are nowhere near bad enough for people to get, quote unquote, radicalized in that direction as badly as that. Okay. Third thing, and this is again related to what I talked about yesterday and that point, is that Farage is a safety valve, not an enabler. I mean, not only does he consistently gatekeep to his right, but also he kind of acts as a way of people letting off steam through him or through supporter. Like, oh, if you've supported for reform, you felt like you've done your bit and you can kind of breathe a sigh of relief type thing. Things are going to change. You've got some hope, etc. And this works very well as a safety valve for the system. In the Weimar Republic, as I mentioned, the DNVP actually normalized Nazi ideas, and they owned media, like a whole media apparatus, and this was, you know, exploited by the National Socialists in a kind of alliance. Farage has always been extremely careful, perhaps knowing that history, perhaps because he's working for the state or for whatever other reason, he's always been very careful not to go down that route. Okay, he focuses on electoral politics, media appearances, you know, and whatever you want to say, things like GB News are not the equivalent of the DNVP. They're just not. And it all serves, of course, to drain dissident anger into symbolic protests, into things that really amount to letting off steam and not going anywhere. And this prevents genuine far-right organization that, you know, if you contrast what Hitler and his people were doing right back then to what's happening in the UK now, it's just worlds away, okay? Hugenberg, right? Now, let's pretend that Farage was Hugenberg. What Farage would be doing today if he was Hugenberg was he'd be, like, in a formal alliance with, I don't know, let's say, like, Mark Collette, Patriotic Alternative, any kind of further right group, BNP, if it existed, the old UKIP, I don't even know what other right-wing parties are out there, but he would actually be in a formal alliance with them, okay, helping to publish their work, sticking them on, bringing them on GB News and so on. This is what Hugenberg was doing for Hitler, okay? Even though, compared to Hitler, Hugenberg was a quote-unquote moderate, compared to Farage, or compared to anybody in the current British system, he is way off, right? Hugenberg didn't believe in democracy. He was a full-on nationalist. You know, he was a German chauvinist. The notion that Farage is this dude is nonsensical, okay? So that even Farage, let alone, obviously, Farage's Hitler is nonsensical, but Farage's Hugenberg is nonsensical. And this is really what this video is about. Hugenberg was a stepping stone for Hitler, right? Farage is not going to be a stepping stone. He is a terminus. He is designed to prevent. And this is where left-wing commentators who engage in hyperbole, or people like Ed Davey, get it very wrong. They actually misread what Farage is. And to see some rightists doing it as well, I mean, is even more embarrassing for those rightists if they don't recognise what Farage is, okay? And again, I give you value-free analysis from the Sensible Centre as ever. I need to give everybody a reality check from the hyperbolic nonsense that we're seeing in the press at the moment. Fourth, there is a complete lack of a paramilitary element. I talked about this in the Civil War, right? The Nazis, of course, built all of their networks through street violence, through brown shirts, the SA, things like that. They intimidated their opponents through thuggery. Now, you could say, well, maybe Tommy Robinson, something like this, is Nigel Farage's Ernst Röhm, right? I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you're trying to make analogies, it'd be like that. Is it, though? Right? I mean, Ernst Röhm was directly tied to the Nazi machine. They were part of the same organisation. Okay, yes, then there was the Knight of the Long Knives and all the rest of it, but they had a command structure. Farage has consistently disavowed Tommy Robinson, right? And also, let's be real here, Tommy and his lads are nothing like the SA. They're just nothing. It's just so far apart that the parallels are farcical. So again, only the most superficial possible reading would see any kind of parallel here. Farage, of course, always disavows violence. He operates purely within democratic norms. He has there's no Farage militia. There's no extra legal kind of Farageist army or something like that. Instead, he focuses on parliamentary debates, containing anger, like I've talked about, polling. And, you know, therefore, seeing Farage as a stepping stone, right, is again, It's just nonsense, isn't it? It's just nonsense. Farage operates entirely... He is entirely a system creature, is what I'm trying to say. Whereas, of course, in Weimar Republic, a figure like Hugenberg was not. Right? Okay, he was exploiting gaps in the system. But like I talked about, Weimar Republic didn't have checks and balances. It didn't have safety valves. Sorry, it's autumn here. There's a big oak tree and it's dropping all its acorns all at once on the roof. So forgive. Okay, let's carry on. Next thing is media scrutiny and backlash dynamics. In Weimar, Hugenberg had a media empire. He owned lots of kind of propaganda arms, newspapers and so on. And he was able to amplify nationalist propaganda basically unchecked. In 2025, obviously Farage is on X, he's on GB News, he's got a reasonably big social media profile, he's good at the TikTok stuff, but there's still a lot of pushback from mainstream media. There's fact checking, there's left-wing backlash, there's polarization. And all of this basically acts as a dialectic that actually Farage feeds on it all, right? So he's a kind of dialectical creature that needs a figure like Ed Davey to kind of build him up in a way. So he feeds on the backlash. It's a very different dynamic from what was going on in the Weimar Republic. And again, the reason that all that exists is that the system wants Farage to be the destination. It wants to funnel all that energy. Oh, I hate Ed Davey, therefore I like Nigel Farage. So you don't look beyond Farage. That's the whole point of him. He's a terminus. He is the end point. He is the goal. The goal is not to use Farage as a stepping stone. The goal is to put him in power. And then if he fails, as he inevitably will, to use the anger against him to flip things back to the left. I think this will happen in America too. I think after Trump, you'll see a shift back to Democrats, back to the left. And that's what liberal democracy thrives on, this kind of back and forth between basically a fake left and a fake right, a fake left and a fake right. As time has gone on and the cracks have shown, the fake right have had to shift. They've had to keep on changing their mask when the old mask doesn't work anymore. But make no mistake, it's still a mask, okay? And the left have to do the same thing as well. But ultimately, it still basically keeps everything safely contained in a format that is controlled completely by the system. Otherwise, they wouldn't let it happen. Sixth, there's the international context. Weimar, in the post-Versailles environment, was isolated. Time of kind of economic isolationism as well in the interwar period. A lot of closed borders at that time. And this fueled revanchism. It aided Hitler's appeals within Germany itself. So there was already a pretty strong kind of like nationalist atmosphere in the country. Whereas, of course, we're in a global world. Everything is much more internationalized right now. And Britain basically promotes, in concert with all the other NATO countries, quote-unquote democratic norms. And therefore, any form of quote-unquote nationalism that comes from Farage will be tempered by international alliances. Right? In his case, it will be an alliance with Trump, an alliance with Maloney, with Milei, or any other Zionist-controlled populist leader. So it won't truly be nationalism. It will be a kind of international fake nationalism. Populism, if you want to put it that way. But, of course, this all works to contain a genuine far-right energy within safe bounds, which contrasts, Hitler's exploitation of national humiliation, which was a large part of his messaging through media controlled by, they had their own presses too, Goebbels had a paper, for example. But, you know, the atmosphere was ripe for something like that in Germany. Whereas the conditions, as I've talked about, are so different that you can barely draw any parallels at all. Next, there is the personalist populism of Farage, which I talked about yesterday, the populist playbook, as against the ideological extremism and focus of the Nazis. Farage, like Trump, builds a cult of personality around himself. He has vague anti-elite slogans. He saps anger without a coherent ideology a lot of the time. Whereas the Nazis, they had ideologues, they had a whole system, they had robust policies that they'd written, they had all sorts of theorists, they had, you know, they were a vanguardist ideological outfit. Yes, Hitler had a cult of personality as well, but there were a lot of other people who had very strong ideas. There's a very strong ideological element to the Nazis, which is just missing in reform. Okay, Farage's approach, by contrast, is tame. Can only be described as tame. He promises deportations. He delivers debates, and this, of course, prevents a stepping stone to something genuinely like Hitlerian or something like that, as it dilutes radical potential into just yet more new cycles and electoral cycles. Okay. The purpose of this video, by the way, is not to say like that should be happening. What the purpose of this video is to pour cold water on the fantasy of rightists who believe that Farage is going to lead to something like Hitler, right? Or the fantasy of leftists who use rhetoric like this, which, if nothing else, just endangers Nigel Farage's life, because such is the premium on not being a quote-unquote fascist or Nazi. As, you know, Charlie Kirk tragically found out a couple of weeks ago. Eighth, there is voter integration, not alienation. The DMVP, as I talked about, lost voters to the Nazis as the crisis worsened. They acted as a bridge, right? So they were already nationalist, they were already not democratic, and that, you know, in the end, Hitler just appealed more than Hugenberg. His message, the Nazi message, the National Socialist message, appealed more to people than the DNVP. So it did genuinely act as a stepping stone for the Nazis. Farage, in contrast, integrates disaffected conservatives into the Reform UK, gatekeeps, doesn't build that bridge to anywhere else. He keeps it like a terminus, like a cul-de-sac, right? He fragments the right beyond him and provokes centrist coalitions. You know, you notice he's taken in Labour as well as Tory politicians. He's straddled the kind of centre ground where he thinks the Prime Minister should be, which again, then, of course, strengthens democratic safeguards rather than paving the way for fascism. Now, if all this stuff sounds obvious, by the way, it's because it is obvious, right? I shouldn't have to point it out, but clearly I do have to point it out. If the press is anything to go by, if left-wing commentators are anything to go by, or if increasingly right-wing commentators are anything to go by. But that's always what I've done on this channel, is point out obvious stuff that everybody should know. Number nine, historical lessons embedded in society. Post-World War II, Britain internalised the Weimar's failures, and that's basically what I've been saying all along. Everything set up to prevent that happening again, okay? And because of this hypervigilance, Farage always has to kind of tread this line of not appearing too quote-unquote fascist, okay? And then finally, 10, as the unfulfilled promises rack up, energy drains away. Hitler, of course, delivered on his early promises and he built momentum. Right, from 33 to 34 to 35, he consolidated power quickly. He delivered some wins the economic miracle and so on. He genuinely, like, he built the Autobahn and all these sort of things. And that helped build political capital and momentum for what happened in the Weimar Republic. Farage, by contrast, if you look at his track record, he often doesn't deliver, promises big, doesn't deliver. This creates a cycle of hype and disappointment. Hype, disappointment. You can see it with Trump too. Hype, disappointment, all the time. Okay, very different trajectory from, you know, if you were a supporter of the National Socialists in 1935 or something like that, you wouldn't have had that cycle. You'd have been like, oh, we just like have unstoppable momentum or whatever. We've taken over. It's our country now. Blah blah blah. Okay. So it's very different. This, of course, continual cycle of hype and disappointment further then saps energy, dissident energy, without any substantive change. And sooner or later, you tend it 10 years down the line, be 2026 next year, and you haven't really taken like one step forward and 15 steps back. If you think Brexit, which Nigel Farage helped to deliver back in 2016, look at the bloody state on things now. Or in America, Trump's America in 2025, right? Versus when he went up the golden escalator 10 years ago, is America better? Not really. Okay, you can say, well, there's been little wins here and there, but it's not huge, it's not substantive, right? It hasn't really brought back this golden age that he was promising. Remember Liberation Day? What a crock of shit that turned out to be. You can see that because this kind of hype and disappointment, energy sapping cycle happens, right? It doesn't then act as a stepping stone to build momentum to go on to keep on pushing further. It just doesn't happen. Okay, so the reason I'm making this video is because this stepping stone theory is just completely untested, complete nonsense, and yet this is the guiding vision of people on the quote-unquote right. Me, of course, on the centre-left these days, but people on the quote-unquote right are just running with this idea that reform can be used as some sort of vehicle to keep on pushing further and further. They're going to be disappointed. And of course, the leftists are just hyperbolic. You know, they're just up there, their old tricks, calling Farage a fascist and a Nazi and so on. Same old, but it's based on the same silly idea that, you know, what happened in the 30s is going to repeat. It's not going to repeat because, like everything I've said in the past half an hour. Anyway, pick up a course at the academic agency, promo code Shredder, and I'll see you tomorrow. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.